نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah, we ask His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil that which is in ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no deity to be worshipped in truth except Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul, and created from that soul its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off the wombs that bore you. Don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed Allah is a raqib over you. Indeed Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and speak the truth, in order that He may improve your, make your deeds righteous and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'd. The most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most evil deeds are newly invented matters in this religion, and every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the hellfire. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll be continuing with our lessons in tazkiyatun nufus, or the purification of the soul. And this week we're going to begin with the section on dua. What is dua, the virtues of dua, the times to make dua, and the etiquettes or the do's and don'ts concerning making dua. However, last week we were finishing up mukaffarat al-dhunub, or the atonement, things that we do as an atonement for our sins. And I forgot the book. I wanted to add a few things that we can say to have our sins forgiven. We'll begin with the first thing, which is the hadith, the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As he says, and this hadith is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and the four books of the Sunnah, Sunan Abi Dawood and Sunan al-Tirmidhi and Sunan al-Nasa'i and Sunan ibn Majah, and is also in Al-Hakim, Mustadrak lil-Hakim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من أكل طعاما ثم قال الحمد لله الذي أطعمني هذا الطعام ورزقنيه من غير حول مني ولا قوة غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. ومن لبس ثوبا فقال الحمد لله الذي كساني هذا ورزقنيه من غير حول مني ولا قوة غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us in this dua that which we can say to have our sins forgiven, as he says, whoever eats food and then says, Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amani hadha at'amani hadha at'am wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwa he will have all of his past sins forgiven. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever says Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah who has fed us this food and has provided for us without any power or might from ourselves, has his past sins forgiven. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say, and whoever wears a piece of clothing and says Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah for clothing me with this piece of clothing and has provided me with it without any power from me or any might, then he has his past sins forgiven and his future sins. This was the hadith that we had mentioned last week, and I wasn't sure about the text, so this week we're quoting it. However, in reviewing this text, because even me myself, I was very surprised at the statement that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says here at the end of the hadith, and his future sins would be forgiven. As I had mentioned last week, that I haven't come across any hadith authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he states that anyone will have his future sins to be forgiven of him, except this hadith. However, though it's in this book called Sahih al-Jami al-Saghir wa Ziyadatuhu, and the origin of this book was written by Imam al-Suyuti, who died 911 on the Hijra calendar, which is about 500 years from ago, and it was checked and proved, it was divided into two categories, authentic and unauthentic, by the Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani. So this section is the authentic section from that book, and it has this hadith included. However, Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani and other books, from among the books that he has written, he has said that this extra part of the hadith and his future sins will be forgiven isn't authentic. So I'm not sure to say, is this part, this extra piece here, authentic or not authentic? There seems to be some difference. I don't have the knowledge to make the deciding factor whether it's authentic or not authentic. But what we are certain about is that anyone who eats any piece of food and says Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amani hadha at'am wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwa, has all of his past sins forgiven. Just as the person who wears any piece of clothing and he says Alhamdulillah alladhi kasani hadha min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwa, has all of his past sins forgiven. So this there is no difference of opinion in, and Allah Ta'ala a'lam, pertaining to the future sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in another authentic hadith, and inshallah ta'ala, we have stated in the past that every hadith we try to use is authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unless otherwise stated. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this hadith, which is in Sahih Muslim, من قال حين يسمع المؤذن وأنا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله رضيت بالله ربا وبمحمد رسولا وبالإسلام دينا غفر الله له ما تقدم من ذنبه. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in this hadith, whoever says, when he hears the muadhin say, and I was pausing a minute because I had remembered that I had memorized a portion of this hadith that I don't see here. This book here is a collection of hadith by the Imam Suyuti, which was divided into two sections by Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, authentic and unauthentic. This book is a collection, as we said. Imam Suyuti died 9/11. So he had referred to over, I think, 40 books in compiling this book of hadith. So a lot of times Imam Suyuti is quoting from his memory, and maybe he makes mistakes, or the printing press makes mistakes. But inshallah, we will check Sahih Muslim and see if this phrase is added. And this is the phrase that I remember, that whoever hears the muadhin say, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, whoever hears the muadhin say that, and then he says, وَأَنَا أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شِرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, رضيت بالله ربا وبمحمد رسولا وبالإسلام دينا. Allah will forgive him of his past sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, after the Mu'adhin says, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, after he says this part of the Adhan, if we hear that and we say, and I bear witness that there is no deity to be worshipped in truth, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ, except Allah, that there is no deity to be worshipped in truth except Allah, He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and messenger, I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, and with Muhammad as my messenger, and with Islam as my deen, then he will have all of his past sins forgiven. Here in this hadith, in the collection that I have, Sahih al-Jami al-Saghir, they have left out the phrase. They just say, whoever hears the muadhin and says, wa ana ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, it doesn't explain at what point when you hear the muadhin make the adhan do you make this statement. If I'm correct, it is after he has said wa ashhadu anna muhammadar rasulullah. After that statement, then we add wa ana ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu raditu billahi rabba wa bi muhammadin rasula wa bil islami deena. Whoever says that, then he has his past sins forgiven. And that means, and I bear witness that there is no deity to be worshipped in truth except Allah, He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger, I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, and with Muhammad as my messenger, and with Islam as my deen, then he will have all of his past sins forgiven. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this last hadith, finalizing that which we had to offer pertaining to that which we can do or say to have our sins forgiven, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith, which is in both Bukhari and Muslim, man qala la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir fi yawmi 100 marra kanat lahu adla 10 riqab wa kutibat lahu 100 hasana wa muhiyat anhu 100 sayyi'a wa kanat lahu hirzan min ash-shaytan yawmuhu dhalika hatta yamsi aw yumsa wa lam ya'ti ahadun bi afdal mimma ja'a bihi illa ahadun amila amalan akthar min dhalik. And this authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is teaching us a statement that we can say 100 times in a day to have our sins forgiven, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us, whoever says la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah lahul mulku wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, that whoever says this statement in a day 100 times, then it would be, he will be rewarded as if he freed 10 slaves, and it will be written for him 100 good deeds, and 100 bad deeds will be wiped away from him, and it will be a protection from shaitan for the rest of that day until nighttime comes. And no one can do better than that, no one can do better than that except for the one who does that and then some more. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us a small phrase to say that if we say it 100 times in a day, and it's easy for us to say a phrase 100 times in a day, as we know in the days of Jahiliyyah, maybe we said songs that we like more than 100 times a day, that all we have to say is la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah lahul mulku wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir 100 times in one day, we will have the reward as if we freed 10 slaves, we will be rewarded with 100 blessings, and we will have 100 bad deeds wiped away, And it will be a protection for us from shaitan for the rest of the day until the night comes. And no one can do anything better than that except for the person who does the same thing and more. And this phrase means, there is no deity to be worshipped in truth except Allah. He is alone and has no partners. He has the kingdom, or he owns the dominion. To him is the praise, and he has power over everything. So whoever says this 100 times a day, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe away his sins, 100 bad deeds, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in this authentic hadith. We said that this week we wanted to begin with the dua, and inshallah al-an we'll begin with the dua, and we begin with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 186. After I say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, Allah says, إذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, when he's speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first, if my servants ask you concerning me, then tell them that I am near. I answer the call, I answer the dua of the one who makes dua to me. So worship me, or obey me, and believe in me, so that perchance you may be guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, as he told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first when he revealed the Quran to him, when one of my servants asks you concerning me, and Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah says in his tafsir, and many people agree with him, that they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they asked him, where is Allah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse saying, if any of my servants ask you concerning me, where am I? Then tell them that I am near. I answer the dua, the supplication of the one who makes dua to me, or supplication to me. So obey me. And Imam al-Tabari also explains that this فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي could either mean obey me, or to make dua to me and believe in me, that perchance you may be guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is showing us that He alone is the one to answer dua, and it's just upon us to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order that Allah may answer our supplication. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to make dua, as He says in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 32, وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Allah says, and I command you to ask Allah from His bounties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to make dua to Him for His bounties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with everything that we see in this world, and He's going to bless us inshallah ta'ala with that which He has stored up for His believers in the hereafter, and He commands us to ask Him from His bounties. So ask Him from His bounties on this earth, in this world, and in the next world. As the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Al-Ghafir, which is number 40, verse number 60. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and your Lord says, I command you to make dua to me, then I will answer your dua. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us as believers in Him to make dua to Him, and then He tells us, after we make dua to Him, after we live up to the commandment of making dua, making supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He will answer our dua, then He will answer our supplication. These are some of the virtues in the Quran pertaining to dua, and if we read the Quran, then there are other verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing the virtues or the benefits of dua, shows where He is encouraging us to make dua, just as His Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam encourages us to make dua, as he says in authentic hadith, which is in the four books of the Sunan, which as we said before is the Sunan At-Tirmidhi and the Sunan Abi Dawud and the Sunan An-Nasa'i and the Sunan Ibn Majah. These four books are known as the books of the Sunan. This authentic hadith reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah, thumma qara'a wa qala rabbukum ud'uni astajib lakum." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ad-du'a, it is worship. Ad-du'a, it is worship." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is emphasizing the importance of du'a, and it is as if he's making du'a the whole religion. As we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created man nor jinn except to worship me. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الدُّعَى هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. And du'a, this is the worship. So it is as if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making du'a the worship, the only worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding from us, as he tells us in the Quran, and I have not created men nor jinn except to worship me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on and read the verse in Quran that we quoted before, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, الدُّعَى, it is worship, he read the verse in the Quran, and your Lord says, I command you to make du'a to me, I will answer your du'a. I command you to make du'a to me, and I will answer your du'a. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us the importance of du'a. Is in showing us the importance of du'a. And then he went on to quote the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, I command you to make du'a to me, I will answer your du'a. So making du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wajib, is compulsory, obligatory, and incumbent upon every single Muslim. Each and every single one of us, we have to make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He commanded us to make du'a to Him. And after we make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He is going to answer our du'a, as He says, أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, I will answer your du'a. I just wanted to stop here before I continue with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pertaining to the virtues of du'a, just to clarify. We were saying, as a translation, that du'a is supplication. That du'a is supplication, or asking, the asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in Islam, we know that du'a takes two forms, or there's two types of du'a, or two kinds of du'a. The first kind of du'a is that which we say is supplication, or asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first type of du'a, and the most common type of du'a that people know. However, the second type of du'a is asking, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The praising of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is du'a. So du'a comes in the form of either asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His bounties, or either praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَفْضَلُ الدُّعَى أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I forgot the exact wording of this hadith, but I think the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that the best du'a is the statement, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, Lord of all the worlds. Maybe this phrase, Rabbil Alameen, Lord of all the worlds, is extra for myself, because I'm not sure now if I memorized it correctly. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, and inshallah, in the future classes, I'll have a chance to review and to make sure exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as not to lie on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we all know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man haddatha anni hadithan wa huwa yara annahu kadhibun fa huwa ahadul kadhibin." That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Whoever narrates a hadith on me and he knows that it is a lie, then he is one of the two liars." This is why the ulama of Islam, from the time of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam up until today, whenever they quote a hadith on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they're not sure of the exact wording, they say, "Aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam," or as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. I know that there's authentic hadith on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the basic meaning of that the best type of dua is the statement alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. But the exact wordings of the hadith, this is where I'm doubting in. I'm not doubting that there is an authentic hadith with this meaning on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but that my doubt is on the actual wording of it. And there are many hadith, and just as an example, we know the hadith where the man, Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami, the man who had companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had slapped his slave girl because she lost one of his sheep, and brought that slave girl to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the famous hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her, "Where is Allah?" and she said, "He's above the heavens." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Who am I?" and she said, "The Messenger of Allah." And he said, "Free her, for she is a believer." At the beginning of the hadith, that companion was going to make salat with the Muslims. And in that hadith, in the beginning, when he was making salat, he heard someone sneeze, and he said, "Yarhamukallah." He didn't know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed in the Quran, "Waqumu lillahi qaditin," and stand up to Allah in salat, being silent. So he was speaking in salat with words that weren't from the salat, because he didn't know that it was permissible to speak in salat. Anyway, as the hadith goes on, the companions were beating on their legs and they were trying to stop him, and he continued to talk, "Oh, what's wrong with me? What am I saying?" as if I'm doing something wrong, as the hadith goes. And then after the salat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to him. And that companion, who of course wasn't among the most knowledgeable companions, and this is why he was talking in his salat, when he quoted the text of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even I'm forgetting the wording of the hadith. At any rate, he's saying that the Prophet ﷺ told him that salat isn't for everyday talk, but it's only for the recitation of the Quran and praising Allah. When he made that statement, he said, and the Prophet ﷺ told me that salat isn't for everyday talk, but it's for the recitation of the Quran and for praising Allah, he said, or as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Because he's not one of the scholars of the Sahaba, and he wasn't sure as the exact words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he said, "Aw kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So as I'm quoting this hadith, we just wanted to make a point that sometimes we may quote from our memory, and we may not quote exactly. We're not intending to lie on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is why we use the manners of saying "aw kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam," or as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, showing that we are paraphrasing or that we are quoting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the best of our ability. So in that quote, we said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best dua is the statement alhamdulillah, showing that dua or supplication is in two forms. One is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his bounties, and the other, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as saying alhamdulillah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Back to the virtues of dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in an authentic hadith collected by Ibn Majah, "Man lam yad'u Allah subhanahu ghadiba alayhi." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever does not make dua to Allah, Allah gets angry with him. Whoever does not make dua to Allah, Allah gets angry with him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in another hadith, which is also collected by Ibn Majah, "Laysa shay'un akramu 'ala Allah subhanahu min ad-du'a," that there is nothing more honorable, more noble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than du'a. There is nothing more honorable or noble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than du'a. These hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is trying to teach us, to show us the virtues and the benefits of du'a, in order that we may constantly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his bounties. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Oh Allah, give us the good in this world and the hereafter and save us from the fire. Just sometimes, you know, after reading the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is encouraging us to do something, sometimes it just makes you want to act on it right away. And this is why I ask Allah, ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey His Messenger. When we hear the hadith, or we hear the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recited to us, or the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being recited to us, we should do our best to act upon it as fast as we could. We should do our best to act upon this guidance as fast as we can, because we don't know when our time is coming. It may be that we heard today's lesson where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us to make dua, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging us to make dua, and after the lesson is over with, we die, not getting a chance to implement this dua. So don't feel ashamed to act upon the guidance of Islam as soon as this guidance comes to you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith which is collected by Imam Muslim, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي وَأَنَا مَعَهُ إِذَا دَعَانِي. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي وَأَنَا مَعَهُ إِذَا دَعَانِي. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that indeed Allah says, I am with the servant who thinks of me, or I am with the thoughts of my servant as he remembers me, and I am with him when he makes dua to me, and I am with him when he makes dua to me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that he is with us when we make dua to him, and that he is with us to answer our dua when we make dua to him, for he is Qareebun Mujib. Allah is near, and he's the answer of the dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another authentic hadith which has been collected by Imam At-Tirmidhi, and it's also in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, the Prophet salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi says, ما من أحد يدعو بدعاء إلا آتاه الله ما سأله أو كف عنه من السوء مثله ما لم يدعو بإثم أو قطيعة رحم. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith, there is not a person who makes dua except that Allah gives him that which he asks for. There is not a person who makes dua except that Allah gives him that which he asks for, or he removes from him the evil equivalent to that, or he removes from him the evil equivalent to that, so long as he doesn't make dua for sinful things or to cut off family relations. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another authentic hadith which is collected by Al-Hakim, and it is a statement of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, أفضل العبادة الدعاء. أفضل العبادة الدعاء. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in this hadith, this authentic hadith collected by Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, that the best type of worship is dua. That the best type of worship is dua. So in these ayats that we just heard from the Quran and from the hadith, from the authentic sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we come to see that dua has been made incumbent upon each and every one of us. That dua has been made obligatory, wajib on each and every one of us. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after He has made this incumbent upon us, He has also encouraged us to do this. Encouraged us to make the dua. He didn't just make it incumbent upon us and leave it, but He went on to encourage us, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to encourage us to fulfill this obligation. And after fulfilling this obligation of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his bounties, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to answer our dua and to give us from his bounties. So we should be mindful of the book of Allah and of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when this guidance comes to us, that when this guidance relating to the issue of dua comes to us, when we see these virtues of making dua, then we should be among the first people to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ اللَّهُمَّ مُصَرِّفَ الْقُلُوبِ صَرِّفْ قُلُوبَنَا عَلَى طَاعَتِكَ. O Allah, give us a good, O our Lord, give us a good in this world and give us a good in the hereafter and save us from the hellfire. O Allah, the one who changes the hearts, change our hearts, or the one who turns the hearts or flips the hearts, turn our heart to obedience to you. O Allah, the one who turns the hearts, turn our hearts to obedience to you. And this dua is one of the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make often. And it should always be among the dua that the Muslims make, because after living a life of jahiliyyah and being guided to Islam, after living a life of jahiliyyah and then being guided to Islam, receiving the guidance of Islam, at times each and every one of us finds a little difficulty in accepting a belief or making a statement or in practicing a practice or act of worship in Islam. We find difficulty in it because we lived a life and we become accustomed to certain things. So after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this guidance of Islam, and alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada, and all praise is due to Allah for guiding us to this, sometimes we have difficulty in accepting a belief or making a statement or practicing a particular act of worship, or staying away from something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram on us. This is why we should constantly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atika. O the one who changes the hearts, change our hearts to obedience to you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He changes our hearts to obedience to Him, then it will be easy to live up to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that reminds me of something that I just want to add, and I'll add it because today's lesson is going to be a little shorter than the other lessons. When I was in Medina, one of the brothers asked me, Walaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Abu Muslima, you don't listen to any music, you don't play basketball with us, you don't hang out with us, you don't read novels, what type of entertainment do you have? How can you enjoy yourself if you don't listen to music? If you don't watch movies and TV? If you don't read novels or play checkers or play cards or play basketball or whatever have you of these recreational things? How in the world can you enjoy yourself? I told him, you know, before I used to be a DJ, I used to listen to music non-stop every day. I couldn't have, if someone would have asked me when I was a DJ, like my mother used to say, when I used to get up every morning before I went to high school, cutting up the records, when you going to leave that stuff alone? If she could have asked me then, could you imagine a time when you won't listen to music? I could have never imagined a time when I wouldn't listen to music. But when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atika, O the one who changes the hearts, change my heart to obedience to you, and then you come to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger has made music haram on the believers, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change our hearts to obedience to Him, then you see how easy it is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, as we have mentioned before in one of the previous lessons, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man taraka shay'an lillah awadahu Allahu خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ أو كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Whoever leaves something for the sake of Allah, then Allah will replace it with something which is better than it. Whoever leaves something for the sake of Allah, then Allah will replace it with something better than it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to Islam and softened our hearts up to obedience to Him, when we leave off the haram and accept that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do, then we find a pleasure in it. We find it easy for us. So we should all be mindful of making this dua, Ya Musarrif al Qulub, Sarrif Qulubana ala ta'atika. O the changer of hearts, change my heart to obedience to you. With that, we just wanted to mention the first etiquette of making dua, and we're just going to stop at that first etiquette of making dua, and then in the coming lessons, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to continue with the etiquette of making dua. The first one is that we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. That dua or supplication or praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and for no one else. We don't ask our shaykh such and such. We don't ask a dead saint. We don't ask Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus the son of Maryam, of Mary. We don't ask anyone. We don't ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't ask any created thing to answer our dua. We only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer our dua, for there is no one else who can answer dua except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one that can answer dua except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the only one that we should be making our dua to, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. And this is in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 41, and Surah Al-An'am is chapter number 6. بَلْ إِيَّاهُ تَدْعُونَ فَيَكْشِفُ مَا تَدْعُونَ إِلَيْهِ إِنْ شَاءَ وَتُنْسَوْنَ مَا تُشْرِكُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, rather Him alone should you make your dua to. Rather Him alone should you call on, should you make your supplication. And He is the one who will remove from you your afflictions when you make dua to Him, if He pleases. And He is the one to remove the burdens or the afflictions that befall you when you make dua to Him, if He pleases. But you forget, and ascribe partners to Him. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that He's the only one that we should make our dua to, and that He's the only one that can remove the afflictions that befall us. He is the only one that can save us in our difficult times. However, at times we forget and we ascribe partners to Him. We think that people can save us other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're in a jam. First thing we want to look at, who can handle this? Who can fix my toilet? It overflowed. Who can fix my flat tire when my car broke down? I forgot to spare at home. Anything that befalls us, when the first times it befalls us, at times we forget, where's that mechanic at? My car broke down, I got to get to work tomorrow. We're always thinking of who's that individual from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can answer us, that can save us from our problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is the one that can save us from that which afflicts us, from that which befalls us. And we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone first, and then and only then can we seek the help of His creation. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and that this is the first etiquette of dua, that dua is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and not for anyone other than Allah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Jinn, verse number 18, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And these masjids, and these places of worship are for Allah alone, so don't make dua to anyone besides Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that in these places of worship, that they are for Allah alone, and that we shouldn't make dua to anyone other than Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, in Surah Al-Jinn, verse number 18, is also showing us, teaching us this etiquette of dua, the first etiquette that we want to make, and that is that dua in both forms, whether supplication, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in praising Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is for Allah alone. that this is for Allah alone, and that this is the fulfillment of the statement that we made when we entered into Islam, when we said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. When we entered into Islam and we said, I bear witness, I testify that there is no deity, no God, no object of worship to be worshipped in truth other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And fulfilling this and living up to this is to make dua, is to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. How can we bear witness that there is no deity to be worshipped in truth except Allah, and have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that dua is worship, and then make our dua to other than Allah? It's through dua. And that this dua is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and not for anyone other than Allah. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains in this hadith, which is narrated by Abu al-Abbas, Abdullah ibn al-Abbas, as he says, كنت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما فقال يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. And this hadith was collected by Tirmidhi, and this hadith is in the famous collection of hadith that we encourage ourselves first, and we encourage all of the believers to buy and to read as often as they can, the collection Al-Arba'in Al-Nawawiyya, the 40 hadith by Imam Al-Nawawi, that this authentic hadith is in there, and it is on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he said, radiyallahu anhu, I was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, referring to they were riding on the same animal. I was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day, and he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya ghulam, O little boy, let me teach you a few phrases. احفظ الله يحفظك, guard Allah and Allah will guard you. That's a literal meaning. Inshallah, it means be mindful of your duties to Allah. Be mindful of your duties to Allah, then Allah will reward you accordingly. Be mindful to obey Allah and that which He has commanded us to do, and be mindful to stay away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited to us, or has forbid us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will preserve us, or guard us, or reward us. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. And if you preserve Allah, and He's going on to command us to guard Allah, or to make sure that we worship Allah properly, meaning to obey Him and what He has commanded us, and to stay away from that which He has forbidden us, then we will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of us. That as much as we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will always find Him in front of us, answering our dua, accepting our worship from us, forgiving us of our sins. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say, and this is the point that we want to make here tonight, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you ask, when you make your dua, then ask Allah alone. Then make dua to Allah alone. When you ask Allah alone. And when you seek assistance in Allah alone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was teaching Abdullah ibn Abbas, one of the scholars of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a few phrases. When you ask, when you make dua, ask Allah alone. Make dua to Allah alone. And when you seek assistance in Allah alone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who has been entrusted with explaining this Quran, which making this Quran clear to humanity, is explaining this hadith, in this hadith, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Quran, that when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This is what we had to offer today. We wanted to keep it short, and inshallah ta'ala next week we'll be back in full swing, inshallah ta'ala, continuing with the etiquettes of dua, and then moving on to the don'ts of dua. And then moving on to the times when we should make dua, or the times when dua is most likely to be answered. And we continue with the dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ اللَّهُمَّ مُصَرِّفَ الْقُلُوبِ صَرِّفْ قُلُوبَنَا عَلَى طَاعَتِكَ اللَّهُمَّ مُثَبِّتَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قُلُوبَنَا عَلَى طَاعَتِكَ اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّا نَسْأَلُكَ الْهُدَى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة وحسن الخلق والرضاء بالقدر. If I said anything wrong today, then it is from me myself and from my weaknesses, and I don't run from the blame of that. And if there was anything good that I said today, then it was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the du'as that I made, just as a brief translation, from the beginning, O our Lord, give us the good in this world, and give us the good in the hereafter, and save us from the hellfire. O Allah, the one who changes the hearts, change our hearts to obedience to you. O Allah, the one who makes the hearts firm, make our hearts firm on your deen. O Allah, we ask you for guidance, and taqwa, and wealth, and chastity. O Allah, we ask you for good health, and good character. We ask you for good health and good character, and to be pleased with your qadr. And I don't remember what I made at the end of those dua, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-qareeb, mujib, to answer all of the dua of the Muslims. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. If there are any questions pertaining to the lesson that we had today, then we can entertain those questions now, inshallah. Now. The brother is asking us, is there any such thing as making a bad dua, as making a dua to hurt someone? We said in the beginning of our lesson that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in authentic hadith, ما من أحد يدعو بدعاء إلا آتاه الله ما سأل إلا ما آتاه الله إلا آتاه الله ما سأل أو كف عنه من السوء مثله ما لم يدعو بإثم أو قطيعة رحم. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, showing us the virtues of dua, that there is no one who makes a dua except that Allah gives him what he asks for, or he removes from him something evil equivalent to that which he has asked for, so long as he doesn't make a sinful dua, or he doesn't make dua for something sinful, and so long as he doesn't make dua for the cutting off of family relations. And to cut off of the family relations is a bad thing, as we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded us to keep good family relationships in more than one hadith. So no, it's not permissible for us to make dua in a sinful manner. And inshallah ta'ala, when we get to the section of the don'ts for dua, then we will cover the ways that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited us in making dua. Allah barik fi. Now. No, there's other narrations, and if I'm correct, I think this might be the narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us to say it in this manner. And I think it's one of the times when it says, whoever says this after Fajr 10 times, then he gets such and such of a reward. I'm not familiar right now. I don't have the hadith memorized. Maybe in the future we can. But the Prophet wasallam also has this addition added. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير. Just as we said in that greatest hadith that maybe we've ever heard, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to say when we go into the souk, when we go into the marketplaces, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو يحيي ويميت وهو خير وهو يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. So even in this hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, whoever enters into the marketplace and says this will get 1 million blessings, or rewarded 1 million times, and will have 1 million bad deeds removed away from him, and will be raised 1 million levels. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added on to what we had mentioned today with just لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Yeah, we have that. Before I came to the lesson, I didn't read the explanation of this hadith. But it seems clear that it can have either one of two meanings. And that is, the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever says this 100 times in a day, then he is rewarded likewise. And that no one can do anything better than this, except for the person who does it, and more. Who does it 100 times, and more than 100 times. That would be, to me, the most apparent meaning, or more, meaning more good deeds, as this is a good deed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
This is why you said about changing the past of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change their heart. Is it in that book?
The brother is asking me, is the dua, Ya Musarrif al-Qulubi, Sarrif Qulubana ala ta'atika, O the change, O Allah, the changer of hearts, change our hearts to obedience to you. Is that in the book, the authentic supplications of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I haven't read that book, and I'm not sure if it's in there or not. So we encourage everyone to buy that book. We encourage everyone to buy that book and to begin to learn the dua and the dhikr that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, and those authentic hadiths, in order that we may make our tongues wet with the remembrance of Allah. So I'm not going to offend anyone by not writing down that hadith for them, because the hadith has already been written in the book, and we encourage the people to buy the book in order that they can learn their deen. But whoever has a problem, any difficulty in purchasing the book, then he can borrow the book from someone, and I have a copy of the book, and I can lend it to whoever wants to borrow the book, in order that they can write down the dua and learn the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in order that Allah may make our hearts turn to obedience to Him. No. The brother is asking, is there any truth in the statement that dua can change that the decree, or that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preordained? This was the issue that I had thought that I would mention today when I came. And then at times, you know, sometimes you just leave something off because you feel it may be a problem or whatever. Not to say that I'm trying to baby feed you all, you know, and give you that which I think is beneficial for you, and what I think might be too difficult to hide it from you. But sometimes, you know, we all feel that some issues are difficult to grasp, you know, and they are difficult for the people to accept, as we were saying, the importance of this dua. That there are some things that we're faced with in Islam, some beliefs, that they're difficult for us to hold, or some concepts difficult for us to understand, or some statements that might be difficult for us to say because they're too long, or the combination of the words are too difficult, or some practices or acts of worship that may be too difficult for us. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the changer of the hearts, to change our hearts to obedience to Him. With that, I say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith, لا يرد القدر, and in another narration, لا يرد القضاء إلا الدعاء. And both of these narrations have been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said in the first narration that nothing changes the decree, the qadr, or the predestination, or whatever they translate it as, the sixth article of faith, that nothing changes this except dua. And in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says nothing changes qada, or the actual happening of that which was preordained or decreed, the actual happening of it, the actual taking place of it, that nothing changes that except dua. That nothing changes it except dua. So yes, that decree wa qadr, or al-qada, or the execution of that decree, can be changed by dua. And Al-Khattabi rahimahullah, one of the early scholars of Islam, who died 300 and something Hijra, I don't remember the exact date right now, he has a book called Sha'nu Dua, pertaining the affairs of dua. And in that book he brings the issue of nothing is able to change the qadr except dua. Nothing can change the qadr or the qada except the dua. We're saying that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written something, and that what he has wrote already, when he told the pen, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in authentic hadith, inna awwala ma khalaqa Allahu al-qalam wa qala lil-qalam uktub, وقال القلم يا ربي ما أكتب قال أكتب مقادير كل شيء إلى قيام الساعة أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the first thing that Allah created was the pen, and He told the pen to write. The pen said, "Oh my Lord, what shall I write?" He said, "Write everything that is going to happen to the Day of Judgment." That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote, ordained, predestined, or decreed, is going to happen. When he said that such and such of a person is going to be born on such and such a day and die such and such a day, then exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed is going to happen. If that's so, then how can we say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said nothing can change qadr or qada except dua? Al-Khattabi rahimahullah, the scholar, he said in his book Sha'nu Dua that the position of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and inshallah ta'ala all of us are among Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that our position pertaining to this is that the dua that supposedly changes the qadr or the qada, is that the meaning of it is that no dua will be answered except that it is in accordance with qadr wal qada. Then no dua will be answered except that it is in accordance with dua. And this is what he says is the position of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And Allah knows best. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا ذُكِرَ الْقَدَرْ فَأَمْسِكُوا. إِذَا ذُكِرَ الْقَدَرْ فَأَمْسِكُوا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani says in his collection, Silsila Hadith al-Sahihah, he says that this hadith is authentic. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that when the issue of qadr, decree or predestination, when this issue is being mentioned, then be quiet and refrain from dwelling into it. So we know that everything has already been written, and what has been written is going to happen. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says nothing changes that except dua, and we believe in this deen. As we say, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا, that I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, and with Islam as my deen, and with Muhammad as my messenger. And this is what Allah and His messenger brought, and I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, and I am pleased with Islam as my deen, and I am pleased with Muhammad as my messenger. In this statement, رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد رسولا صلى الله عليه وسلم. I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, and I am pleased with Islam as my deen, my way of life, my religion, and I am pleased with Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم as my messenger. That whoever says this statement three times, then he enters Jannah. That whoever says this statement three times, then he enters Jannah. And me, I try to make it a practice to say it as much as I can in order that I can enter Jannah. And especially when we come across issues in this deen that may be difficult for us to understand, or concepts that may be hard for us to understand, we already know that this deen is the truth. We should always repeat, either to say Amantu Billah, I believe in Allah, or Raditu Billahi Rabba, Bil Islami Deena, Wabi Muhammad Rasulah, that I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, and Islam as my Deen, and Muhammad as my Messenger, in order that we don't let something that we're not able to understand because of our low level of intelligence or our weakness of our mind, and we're not able to understand a particular point, that we don't make that point give us any doubt that Islam is the truth. That we don't let any point that we're not able to understand give us any doubt in the truth of Islam. And for sure that there are always going to be points that some of us can't understand. Maybe I can understand it, that brother can't understand it. Does that, because he can't understand it, should he use that as an excuse to doubt in Islam? Ever. Never. I was trying to say never. Mixing up the two. Never should we let our lack of intelligence, our weak understanding, or our not being able to come to grips with something in Islam, have us to doubt about Islam. But we should be happy with Allah as our Lord, and with Islam as our religion, and with Muhammad as our messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Now. Nah. Someone said the first question, which hadith, which is in the collection of 40 hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Whoever asks, then ask Allah alone, and whoever seeks assistance, seek Allah alone." That whoever reads 40 hadith, and it shouldn't take more than a half an hour to read from the beginning to the end, then for sure he will come across that hadith. Even though one of the brothers mentioned the number of the hadith, I'm not going to mention it, in order that we encourage people to read that book from beginning to end, in order that they may benefit from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we said in the beginning, فَإِنَّ أَصْدَقَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرُ الْهَدْيُ وَخَيْرُ الْهَجِّ هَجُّ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. That the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. No, let's take the second question one at a time. The brother is questioning that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make du'a against the disbelieving people in salat, until Jibreel came down and told him that he doesn't have any control of this affair. And that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 120, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ أو يتوب عليهم أو يعذبهم فإنهم ظالمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua in the salah. Any one of the five salah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam choose, he would just get up and say, "Oh Allah, curse such and such. Oh Allah, curse such and such. Oh Allah, curse such and such. Oh Allah, destroy such and such. Oh Allah, destroy such and such." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of his love for the believers, out of his concern and his mercy for the believers, used to make dua in the five salat against the disbelieving people until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُعَذِّبَهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. We said that this verse is in Surah Al-Ali Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 127. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you don't have anything to do with this affair. You don't have anything to do with this affair or something like that. Or he can forgive them, he can accept their repentance, or he will punish them, for indeed they are wrongdoing people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive them or punish them, but that you don't have anything to do with that. There's a difference of opinion among the scholars of Islam. Is it still permissible for us to make dua in the five salat against the disbelieving people? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do it. However, when this verse was revealed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped making dua in the five salat against the disbelieving people. And to answer the question, is it a part of Islam or is it still permissible to make dua in the five salat against the disbelieving people? Then Allah knows best. But some people say that it's permissible and other people say that it's not permissible based on this verse. And based on the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the revelation of this verse, stopped making dua against the disbelieving people, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Question.
The question is, in reference to making dua, how is it possible?
Say, is it permissible to make dua against the Muslims? There's one time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it permissible for us to make dua against the Muslims. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, the brother was asking, is it permissible for us to make dua against the Muslims? And he gave the example that some people borrow money from the Muslims with no intention on paying it back, and they just continue to swindle the money from the Muslims and treat the Muslims badly. And he's asking, is it permissible for us then to make dua against people like this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, as in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 148, لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم وكان الله سميعا عليما. That Allah does not like being public or to publicize or to be open with something bad from the statements that a person can make, except that he has been oppressed, and Allah is سميعٌ عليم. I remember with one of the sheikhs that I used to study with, Uthman al-Muallimi, who's from Somalia. One day we were in the car, and on the radio they were reciting this verse. And in the land of the Muslims, they have radio stations that just have the Quran recited all day, and lectures on Islam, and hadith, and explanation about Islam all day. So we were listening to that station, and the reciter was reciting this verse. And I remember that I was feeling the same way that the brother was feeling, that these Muslims are just taking advantage of us. Why can't we say something against us? Such and such dog me or make dua against them or whatever. So I asked him, is this ayat meaning that? And he said, yes. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says, لَا يُحَبُّ اللَّهُ الْجَهْرَ بِالسُّوءِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلَمْ, that Allah does not like a person to be open with a statement that is bad except that he's oppressed. And he said that this means that when someone is oppressed, then it's permissible for him to make dua against those people who oppressed him. And we know that the oppressed person, that there's no veil between him and Allah in answering his dua. So I think that's the answer to that question. And Allah knows best. I think it was number 148 in Surah An-Nisa. I got another question from the sisters. When we make dua to Allah to change his qadr, how do we know if it's good for us or not? We're not asking, we don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change his qadr. But that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, as translated, that dua can change the qadr. So we're not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change the qadr, but that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that informs us that nothing can change the qadr except dua. So I don't think that it's a matter of knowing whether that could be good for us or bad for us if the qadr change, but that we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he tells us, وَسَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِ, ask Allah from his bounties. So we should just ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his bounties. The bounties of Allah are good. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, and which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? No. He asked me about the people of Yunus, that they made dua that the wrath of Allah wouldn't come down on them, and it didn't come on them. Do I know anything pertaining to that? No, I don't know anything pertaining to that. Allahu A'lam. With that, I think that we can end because it's time for salah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. الحمد لله رب العالمين